You're listening to True White Collar Crime. This is a podcast about white collar crimes and the criminals behind them. If you're listening on and watching on YouTube, please subscribe, give this video a like. If you are listening to the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you are listening. All right, let's get into it. We got a crazy one for you today. Martin Shkreli, also known as the Pharma Bro, was born in Brooklyn on March 17th, 1983. It's debatable on his birthday for some reason. It's either March 17th or April 1st. I don't know why. Wikipedia says March 17th. That's what we're going with. He's the son of Albanian immigrants, and he was raised Catholic. His father was a doorman, and both of his parents also worked in janitorial services in several office buildings close to New York City. Shkreli took an interest in investing at an early age. He invested in Compaq, the computer stock, at 12 years old and purchased Amazon shares when he was 15. This kid's killing it. He talked about the stock market and biotechnology with the man in his apartment building named Marty. Marty and Martin. They used to play chess, shoot the breeze, all full nine. Martin dropped out of high school at 16 and participated in a work-study program at Kramer, Berkowitz, and Co. so he could earn the credit he needed to graduate. Jim Cramer from the infamous TV show Mad Money is the Cramer from this hedge fund. Martin did entry-level tasks at Kramer, Berkowitz, and Co. for 2 years before he got exposure to real hedge fund work. He also studied business at Baruch College and researched biology and chemistry topics on his own time. Martin used his scientific knowledge to help him research biotech stocks. He looked into a company called Regeneron and found some data that looked like bad news for the company. Regeneron had a new obesity drug that they were trying to get FDA approval on. Shkreli predicted the drug would have problems getting approval and being introduced successfully into the market. He told the traders at Kramer Berkowitz to short the stock. If you don't know, shorting is a bet that the price of the stock will go down. What you do is you borrow shares of a stock from someone else and sell them off. If the stock price goes down, then you make money by buying back the shares and returning them to the broker you borrowed them from. It's risky, though, because if the price of the shares goes up, you still have to buy the shares back, and you can lose an unlimited amount of money. If the stock were to go to the moon after you sell it off, you're responsible for buying that back and returning it to the person you borrowed it from. Kramer Berkowitz traders listened to Martin and shorted the stock. They then watched Regeneron shares lose 50% of their value, and they were able to cash in big on their short position. Kramer Berkowitz then gave Shkreli a job managing money for large clients after this. He was the man over there. The SEC actually looked into the large Regeneron trade because they made so much money off of it, but they found no wrongdoing. Martin left Kramer Berkowitz and took a few similar jobs at other firms before starting his own hedge fund. His investors were confident he could repeat his past success. He called the company Alia Capital Management. This venture was unfortunately unsuccessful due to large bets that Shkreli made against drug stocks that did not pay off. So he's kind of like the gambler in Vegas. He hits it big once, and my man doubling down. He doesn't really take his foot off the gas throughout this whole story. In this case... Lehman Brothers was the broker that backed Shkreli's big short position that went sour. They sued to collect the money they were owed and received a judgment in their favor that entitled them to over $2 million. Fortunately for Shkreli, Lehman Brothers went bankrupt in 2008 and he did not have to pay the money back. This lucky son of a gun. This guy must have been walking on cloud nine after that. Imagine $2 million you owe somebody and you don't have to pay it back because they go bankrupt. That's crazy. Shkreli moved back in with his parents briefly and started another hedge fund. He's back at it. He started it with one of his friends, and it was in 2009. So I'm sure capital is a little bit scarce. This man definitely has a gift for raising money. This new fund was called MSMB Capital Management. The main purpose of this fund was also to short biotech stocks. Surprise, surprise. This time, though, Shkreli was not going to sit idly by and see if the prices of the drug stocks dropped according to the bets he placed. Instead, he went on the offensive. He took every opportunity he could in online investing forums to speak badly of the stocks that he was shorting and point out their downsides. So he's on the attack. He's not sitting by anymore. This tactic still did not pan out for him. He continued to make big bets that lost his company money. He quickly lost all $3 million of the money he received from investors to start the fund. All the money he lost. Shkreli made a Hail Mary bet on Orexigen after this. He borrowed 32 million shares from Merrill Lynch and shorted the stock. The company was in trouble, Orexigen, after one of their big drugs did not get FDA approval. So it was a downward trajectory. It was a sure thing. The price was in free fall at the time. Seems like a great bet. Unfortunately for Shkreli, the stock price bounced back after he bought it, and he was left holding $7 million in losses. This is, you know, shorts are risky. So go big or go home here. He went home. Shkreli eventually settled the debt with Merrill Lynch and was only forced to pay, he was forced to pay less than 25% of what he actually owed. So somehow this guy is scraping by. I don't know if he bankrupted the fund, some legal shenanigans, or he's a good negotiator, but he was paid less than 25%, less than $2 million. Just because his fund was bankrupt didn't mean that Shkreli was going to quit this MSMB Capital. He made up fake financial reports saying that he had delivered exceptional returns and distributed these reports to his investors, which is a huge no-no. He also launched another company called MSMB Healthcare and solicited additional money from investors. So he's doubling down. Marty doubled down. Shkreli received $5 million in new investment from these people after losing all their money. Just get some fake reports out there, tell them all is good. $5 million new dollars. He used $1.3 million to pay Merrill Lynch back from the settlement of what he owed from that terrible trade he made. He cleared his debt with them. Then he used the rest of the money to buy Retrofin stock. Retrofin was a company founded by Shkreli previously, and surprise, surprise, they operate in the healthcare space. Shkreli was actually CEO of Retrofin, and he kept up his strategy of shorting healthcare stocks through this company. Retrofin actually went public in 2014. He used the investor money he got from the IPO to buy the rights to Theola, a drug used to treat a rare illness that caused frequent kidney stones. The price of this drug was $1.50 per dose before Shkreli bought it. After the purchase, he jacked up the price to $30 per pill. Patients need up to 15 doses of the medication per day, and at the time, there were no other medications that would successfully treat the disease. So to put it in different terms, it's a daily cost of $45 initially before he buys it. That cost per day goes up to $900 a day. Retrofin raked in profits from this deal, and Shkreli turned his eye to other drugs that he could purchase and raise the price. This is all 100% legal under U.S. law right now, which is crazy. It's frowned upon by everybody because it can result in death and it costs huge money to the taxpayer, but unfortunately, it's not illegal, and we'll hopefully get into a little bit of why that is later. However, Shkreli was voted out of the company, Retrofin, in September of 2014. The vote was the result of allegations by a former employee that Shkreli was harassing him. Shkreli believed the man owed him money. The guy said that he didn't owe Shkreli the money, and Shkreli ended up saying some messed up stuff. He texted the guy's wife, said he hopes they become homeless one day. He texted the guy's kids. It was just a whole thing. Doesn't seem like a very good person, if there were any doubts about that before. Retrofin settled the case, and then they proceeded to sue Shkreli for $65 million, saying that he wrongfully paid back investors of his old funds with their stock, which, you know, he might have done. But Shkreli responded to the claim, saying that Retrofin owed him $50 million as part of the compensation he was promised, some severance in there as well, after they fired him. Scully went on to found another company in 2015. He's a machine. He called this company Turing Pharmaceuticals and was able to get $90 million in investor funding very quickly. Big investors really liked the idea of buying the rights to drugs. Some call these orphan drugs because they kind of treat these niche diseases. And buying the rights to these orphan drugs and raising the prices, which is savage as hell to do this. Scully tried to buy some valuable drugs from Valiant Pharmaceuticals at first, and they definitely got accused of doing some shady stuff. But the deal for those drugs fell through. He then moved on to try and buy Daraprim, a medication taken by people with toxoplasmosis. Toxoplasmosis is really bad news for people who have pre-existing conditions, and it actually can be fatal. The drug was over 50 years old, so it was developed way back in the day, but there was still no alternative medication due to the high cost and difficult development and regulatory requirements. So it's not easy to develop an alternative to this drug. Scully bought the drug for $55 million and then raised the price from $13.50 per dose to $750 a dose. Savage. Could kill people. Doesn't care. All about the profits. Scully got a lot of heat from this move, but defended his actions. Technically, it's not an illegal move, like we said before, even though it seems wrong on every single level you could possibly imagine. Bernie Sanders called out Scully. Of course, that's Bernie's job. And Scully donated $2,700 after this to Sanders. Bernie turned down the money and ended up donating it to charity just because he didn't wanted to distance himself from Scully. He didn't want any association whatsoever. Biotech stocks actually started to drop a little bit after people like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton spoke out against the practice of drug price hikes. This is one thing Republicans and Democrats agree on, at least in this point in time. We had two leaders in each party agreeing. They even called out Scully's actions specifically. At one point, Martin made a statement saying Turing would lower the price of Daraprim, but then later decided against it. On December 17th, 2015, Martin was arrested as a result of his previous financial fraud and the fact that he used profits from companies that made money to pay off previous investors whose money he had lost. Going back to the fake financial statements, that's going to catch up with you at some point. Evan Grable was indicted along with Scully. Grable was Scully's lawyer and also his alleged accomplice in the fraud. Grable pled not guilty and blamed Scully for the crimes. Scully, in turn, blamed Grable's poor legal advice for his actions. Scully posted $5 million in bail and hired a good attorney. He laid low for the most part, except when he went to testify before Congress. Congress asked him about his drug price increases, and he consistently exercised his Fifth Amendment privilege. Several members of Congress pleaded with him to speak, but he declined. After that appearance before Congress, Martin sent out some disrespectful tweets about the members of Congress that had questioned him, which kind of poking the bear a little bit. It's not like they don't have friends in other parts of the government. Martin also frequently went live on YouTube and talked to his fans. His public persona and some of his online chats, as well as kind of the drug price hikes, earned him the nickname the Pharma Bro. Martin actually, he also harassed Lauren Duca briefly. Well, I don't know about briefly, but for a while in 2017, Lauren was a writer for Teen Vogue. Martin made several public posts about Lauren saying some not so great stuff about his romantic interest in her, and he messaged her privately as well. These actions actually got Martin banned from Twitter after Lauren reported them as inappropriate. Scully also heckled Hillary Clinton after a public 9/11 memorial service. There's actually audio of this if you want to check that out. His trial began in June of 2017. The juror selection process was extremely difficult, as is the case with a lot of very public crimes and public trials. And the fact that Martin's perception in the media wasn't mixed. It was hugely negative at the time. A lot of people were calling him the most hated man in America. The trial lasted a month total and resulted in Scully being convicted for securities fraud and conspiracy charges. He was not convicted of five additional conspiracy charges that were brought against him. But after the convictions came down, he knew he was looking at a fairly lengthy sentence. After his conviction, he should have had a period of time outside of prison before sentencing where you kind of ride that out. But he took to social media, not the brightest guy. He took to social media to offer a $5,000 reward if one of his fans could secure a hair from Hillary Clinton's head. This was while she was on a book tour making public appearances. The judge in his case took away his bail privileges as a result because that's technically assault. You can't steal somebody's hair. Scully was then sent to jail in Brooklyn. I bet he wished he could take that back. In March of 2018, Scully's lawyer stated that prison was not warranted as part of the sentence because of the fact that Scully had compensated all of his investors and had not stolen money from everyone. So because he made a bunch of money from his most current ventures, he was able to pay back the investors from way back in the day whose money he had squandered. So in essence, they were trying to say it was a victimless crime because everybody had been made whole. The judge, however, fined him $7.3 million and gave him a 7-year prison sentence, which I'm sure had nothing to do with his attitude during the trial and just overall in life. Martin Scully is currently serving his prison sentence at a federal facility in Allenwood, Pennsylvania, and will be released in September of 2023. Let's hope he doesn't get back into the drug business too soon and that we can keep future price hikes under control. That's a wild guy. We'll have a picture of him somewhere. Thank you for listening. If you are watching on YouTube, please subscribe, hit that like button. We'll have videos coming out every Monday and Thursday. If you're listening to the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And subscribe wherever you're listening. We do have some sources for the episode. There was an article on refinery29.com. Probably not that reputable, but it was about the Martin Scully harassment of the reporter there. Swindled Podcast, I think, is a very good podcast. They did an episode on Martin Scully. We got some details from there for the pod. Wikipedia obviously had an article about Scully's life. Please let me know if you figure out what day is his actual birthday. A lot of people said April Fool's Day. Other people said March 17th, like we said before. It actually made me look up what day is April Fool's, even though I know it's April 1st. But that's neither here nor there. Also, CNBC had an article on the farmer bro and his 7-year prison sentence that we referenced as well. All right. Thank you all for listening. I will see you next week. Peace.